I began to study this yesterday, and the Lord began to show me something that he would like me to back a little bit and show you who he is and why he almost demands that we become people of faith. We must realize that God is a God of faith. And I showed you last week in Romans chapter 4, when he was talking to Abram, he said, I'm going to call your name Abraham. You're not just going to be a famous man in your community and a righteous man, but you're going to become the father of many nations. I'm going to change your name to mean father of many nations, which was from Abram to Abraham. And he said, out of your loins will come a seed. And every time he talked concerning that seed, he was in the Septuagint. It's talking about one gendered seed, singular. And it talks about the seed of Christ. And through that seed of Christ, I will bless you. And those seed will be after this manner. The seed shall be after this kind, or will follow this way, or be this kind of seed. They will be a seed of faith. And God wants me to show you that this morning. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Here God is speaking to us through faith. That word understanding means that that God the Father rested, thought through, he meditated, he pondered, he walked to the ends of the world, and he came back, and then he created after he thought about it, after he comprehended about it, after he carefully thought it through. And that's the word we get for predestinated. That God knew exactly what would happen, when it would happen, because God thought it through. When he was done through, then he purposed, that word next there, we understand that he framed the world. That frame there means he purposed in his heart, and he created this world. He created the earth, everything that we see around it. He thought it through, and he spoke it. It says, Harema, the word of God, and it began to appear as he thought it through, as he meditated, as he purposed it. He made it, but he made it through the speaking of his word by faith. And that word there is not logos, it's harema, the spoken word of power. He said to Abram, he said, your seed shall be seed of faith. And I want to show you that this morning. Because up in verse it goes on, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, by the harema, the spoken word of God, so that the things which we now see were not made things that do appear. He calls those things that did not exist as though they exist. God calls those things that he does not see, when there was darkness that covered the earth, when there was no form to the earth, when it was void and covered with water. He spoke into the midst of that darkness. He spoke into that emptiness. He spoke into that voidness. And he said, light be, and light came. God is a God of faith. And that harema, we must begin to learn that we must speak the word. Now faith, in verse 1, is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In 1 John chapter 3, it said that we're born of God, that his seed comes into us and gives us a birth. My spirit has been born of the seed of God. We learned that the seed of God is Jesus Christ. The seed is the word according to Luke 8 verse 11. We learned that in the beginning the word was with God, the word was God, and the word is God, and the word became flesh. The seed is the word, and the seed of God is Jesus. And when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, his seed came into us, and we were born again. We said, Jesus, come on into my heart. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, came into our spirit, renewed our spirit by a circumcision of Christ. It stripped off of my spirit that nature of sin and death, and he placed within me his divine nature, and I became a child of the living God. His seed is in me, and it remains. In 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. That's the seed of God, cannot sin. For his seed, God's seed, remains in us. He cannot sin because he's been born of God. In verse 10, and this is the children of God are manifested. Those that have truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior have been born of God. In Galatians, we begin to see what that seed is. In Galatians, in chapter 3, we begin to see what the Scripture begins to call this seed. In verse 16, now to Abram and to his seed were the promises made. I taught you last week about promises. Promise means that God is obligated to his word. If God gave you his word, if God gave you his promise, he's obligated to keep it good, because he cannot lie and he cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's two immutable things that he cannot do. He cannot change when he gives you his promise, and he will not change when he fulfills that promise. But notice that his word, and I want to correct this before we get unbalanced, that God's not responsible to us. He's not obligated to do anything for us. He's only obligated to keep his word. When I tell my son something, if he asks me for something, and I promise him something, I'm only obligated to him because I gave him my word. I'm not obligated to my son. I'm the superior, he's the inferior. But if I give him my word, I shrink down to his level and I become equal with him, because I gave him my word, I swore by my word, and if I don't keep my word, I'm less than him. I'm inferior to him. I'm obligated to keep my word to him because I gave it to him. And that's who God is. When he thought it all through, when he got it all planned out, when he purposed it, he spoke it out. He spoke it out. He said, like me, men come forth, and he breathed into our spirit and we became a living being. And that's all taking place in Genesis 1. Now to Abram, to his seed, were the promises made. God picked a man named Abram and promised him that he would bless him, that he would make it good to him, that he would give him benefits, that he would give him favor, that he would make it good to him and to his seed. He said, not to the seeds as of many, but of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Verse 26, for we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither black nor yellow, nor white nor red. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male or female. For we're all one in Christ Jesus. It's a spiritual birth, not a natural birth. In 2 Corinthians 5, we don't see each other in the flesh anymore. We see each other in the spirit. If the church could ever get past the flesh and see who we really are, that we're an eternal spirit created in the image of God, and if we begin to look at each other as God looks at us, if we look at God in the spirit, look at each other in the spirit, we get past the flesh and become the body of Christ that we truly are. But too many times we get hung up in the flesh. Look what so-and-so did. Look what so-and-so said. Let's get past that and see what God said. And let's begin to walk the way God said we're to walk, in love, in faith, in hope. And the greatest of those is love. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. If you've been born again and you receive the seed of God, which is Christ, Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. When you were born again, you received Christ into your spirit. You received the wisdom of God into your spirit. You received the power of God in your spirit. When you were born again, you received the wisdom of God and the power of God into your spirit. You were born of God. You received the seed of God. You received Christ into your spirit. We need to see this. And God speaks by faith. But he gave us the ability to speak by faith through his wisdom and power. We are the seed of Abraham. And that seed is Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This isn't going to be an exciting one. It's going to be a lot of teaching this morning. In verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. You've been baptized into Christ. You've been baptized into his death. You've been baptized into his burial. You've been baptized into his resurrection. And now we should be walking in the newness of life. But so many of us stop at the cross and battle with our sin and our sickness and our disease and our problems of life. When Jesus overcomes sin, he stripped off of him the nature of sin. He destroyed the body of death, spiritual separation from God. And he offered his blood unto God as an eternal redemption for us. And we are overcomers through his crucifixion. We're overcomers through his death, burial, and resurrection. Nevertheless, I live. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ that lives in me, the seed of God. You have a seed of God in your spirit. If you've been born again, accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, he spoke and planted a seed into your spirit after he removed the nature of sin, after he took away that spiritual separation, that spiritual death, and placed within your heart that seed of himself, which is Christ, the wisdom and power of God. When he planted it into Mary's womb, the angel said to her, "The Spirit of God will come upon you, and he will plant the seed of God in your spirit, and you will clothe it with flesh, and you shall call his name Jesus, and who will be the Christ." That same seed, out of his crucifixion, out of his death, burial, and resurrection, out of him being the first fruits of death, you receive out of his seed a seed into your spirit. You receive Christ into your spirit. You're baptized into the body of Christ, and members in particular. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 13. You are a member of Christ because you receive the seed of Christ into your heart, the wisdom and the power of God to live this life. But we preach flesh too much. We look at our failures. We look at our defeats. We look at reasoning and our circumstances. We listen to all the winds that are blowing in, all the negative is blowing in, all the garbage. And we're like little children when they're at a certain age. What? Who? What? What is this? That? Shut up. What? Who? Let's grow up. Become overcomers and get past the flesh and over into the spirit. And the life which we now live in the flesh, the life I'm obligated now by the promise of God to live, is not by the flesh, but I live by the faith. The faith of the Son of God. The Son of God was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. His name is the Son of God. His name is Jesus. In Revelations 19:11, the seed, the Word, his name, Jesus, is the Word of God. The Son of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. The life I now live is by the faith through the Word of God, amen, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's not frustrate the grace of God. Let's not frustrate the benefits of God. Let's not frustrate the favor of God. Let's not frustrate the giving of God. Let's not frustrate who God is to us. Who do you think God is? He's everything the Word of God says he is. Not what you think. Not what you reason. Not what the circumstances are telling you. He is what the Word of God says who he is. Because the Word of God is Jesus. The Word of God is the Son of God. The Word of God is the seed of God. The seed of God is Christ. The wisdom and power of God clothed with flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is another thing we need to understand. God told me I have to do this before I go on in faith. We got to understand why God demands us to live by faith. Because when we begin to teach faith, there's been so much radicalism in faith and so much ditch going into faith, and begin to throw cold around and flakos around, and we tell God what to do and we command God what to do. And I just want to balance it for you, because we're to live by the faith of the Son of God. We're to live by the Word of God. We're to live by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. But I want to show you that he gave you faith before that hearing went on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God, all the things that he obligated himself to in Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection are yes. If God promised it and it's written in the Word of God, and you go to stand on that promise, he will never, ever, ever tell you no. If I gave my son my word, and 3 days later I did this, and tell him I'm not keeping my word, whew, wow. And when they became teenagers, wow, wow. Why do you think we have rebellion in our country? Because we've given our kids a lot of words and not kept them. Society's given them words and not kept them. When God gave us his word, he's not a liar. He's a keeper of the faith. He will do what he said that he will do. He's obligated. He swore by himself that he will keep it. He could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. He shook hands with us by swearing on his own name that he said he would keep every promise and make it to come to pass. We need to get past that sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says maybe. If I give you my word, I must be obligated to keep my word. There's days I get up and say, oh, Lord, I wish I wouldn't have to be obligated today to that word. Oh, my flesh doesn't feel like moving. My flesh doesn't feel like getting out of bed. My flesh don't feel like doing nothing. Jesus said the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. In Proverbs 6, verse 1, this just came to my spirit. My son, if thou be surety, if you guarantee your word to your friend, that's what that means there. This is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. If I swear to Chris, or swear to Royce, or swear to Matthew, and or Howard, or whatever, and I give them my word, and I guaranteed it with my word, that I'm a surety of that word. I am swore to my own hurt. When God gave us his word, when he promised us, every promise is yes, he's obligated to keep it. We've got to get that built into our spirit. If God said you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. If God said I'll give you peace, he'll give us peace. If God said I'll meet your need, he'll meet our need. If God said by my stripes you are healed, then we're healed. If God said you're saved by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, then you shall be saved, then you're saved. If thou hast stricken thy hand, if you shook your hand, and you know what, this word is not a stranger. In the Septuagint, in the Greek, it means a hostile enemy. It means that once he was my friend, something happened while I was keeping my word to him, and he became my enemy. He became hostile to me. He wanted to kill me and throw me into the ditch. He hates me. He hates to be in my presence. He hates to be around me. But God's word says, if you swore to that man, you gave that man your word, you keep it. Even if he's a hostile enemy. Wow. Wow. We got to see God's word. When God gave us his word, he gave us his word. We can build on that. He said, my word is the guarantee that it shall come to pass. Hebrews 6. Thou art snared. Thou art trapped with the word of thy mouth. When God released the promise out of his mouth, when he released it out of himself, he was trapped by what he said. He came down to our level and said, I'll keep my word to you. I'm obligated to my word, not you, but my word to keep it good. And I gave my wife the word, and I felt like passing out. I don't even remember what the preacher said. My hands were sweating. I was as nervous as you can be. We had ministers that turned us down. They wouldn't even come to the wedding. People said I was going to ruin it within a few months. And I'm standing up there saying, I do. I swear I'll take care of this woman. Yeah, you bum. When you swear and give your word, you've got to stay obligated to it. And if we would work our faith in love, it would change some of our churches. God doesn't go by the flesh. He doesn't go by reasoning. He goes by His faith, His spirit. He is a God of love, and He never changes. He will love me if I hate Him. He will love me if I love Him. He'll love me when I'm in church. He'll love me when I'm running from Him. He'll love me when I keep my word. He'll love me when I don't. He'll love me when I love Him. He'll love me when I don't. Because He is love. He cannot change. When He's given His word to you, to the seed of Abraham, He didn't give His word to sinners. He didn't give His word to religious people. He didn't give His word to people that are out of faith. He gave His word to the seed of Abraham, and the seed of Abraham is Christ. And when you got born again, you got Christ in your spirit, the wisdom and the power of God, and He will keep His word to that wisdom and power inside of you. No longer do I live by my flesh, but by Christ who lives in me. See where faith is going to come in this? He made us like Himself. We're the image of His likeness. Thou art snared with the word of thy mouth. Shucks. Thou art taken with the words of your mouth. If you don't keep your word, after a while people won't believe in you. If you're one that says this and don't do what you said, when they say it, it's what a joke. Is God a joke? Is He not a keeper of His word? Is He a liar? Does He change? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My name is the Lord, and I change not. Do this now, my son. Deliver yourself. Go to your friend that used to be a friend, but now he's a hostile enemy, and go to the hand of your friend. Go humble yourself and make sure of thy friend. Friend, can I be released of the word that I gave you? That's what it's saying here. The only time that God will change His mind on His word is when He changes it. And He said He will not do two things. He will not change when He gets obligated to His word, and He will not change to fulfill it. So there's no way that God's going to change in the midstream of what He's given, the promise of His word to you. And that is a guarantee from Him. Okay. 2 Corinthians. I'm not screaming at you. I'm just screaming myself happy. I'm passionate about this. I believe God can fill this church. I believe God can heal you. I believe God can save you. I believe God can fill you. I believe God is what God said He is, what He will do. And what He can do, He's all those and above and even more. He's more than enough. Ashaddai. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God are yes. And in Him, amen. In other words, it's done. It's choking on. It is completed. And I'm now going to show you my glory. I'm going to show you that I am truly alive. When's the last time you had God work in your life? Then I have to ask this on the heels of that. When's the last time you stood on the Word of God? On a promise of God. Now be unto the glory of God by us. Now He which established us with you is in Christ. He has anointed us as God. He has sealed us with that seed of Christ. He sealed us. He marked us. We're a marked man in the realm of the Spirit. The devil knows who his children are. The devil knows who the people of faith are. When the word goes out, why do you think he immediately comes in? Because we're marked as faith people. And he knows what the word will do. By the hearing and the hearing of the word, faith will come. And watch out when faith comes. There's nothing impossible to him that believes. You know what that actually says in the Greek? There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that God has spoken, horema, that will not come to pass. There's that word horema again, not logos. He's given an earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. He's given you a down payment of the Holy Ghost. Not only did you receive a seed of Christ, but you received a measure of the Holy Ghost inside your spirit. What I wanted to share, my time's running out, and James has said there's no respecter of persons. Each one of us received the same measure when we begin. God doesn't look at one of us greater than the other, or least than any other. We all start on the same. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 20, it said that he's given us that anointing in our spirit. In verse 27, the anointing which we have received of him abides in you. Ye need not that any man teach you, but that same anointing will teach you of all things. He'll teach you his promises. Remember what God thought through it? Slowly, he savored it, walked to the ends of the world age and came back and then spoke it into existence. The Holy Ghost is inside of us to teach us concerning the promises of God. We'll touch on that next week. And his truth and his no lie, even as he taught you, you shall abide in him. Whew, that's powerful. And that verse 20 is good too. But you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One that you know all things. You know all things. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to this life and the spiritual life. God has given us everything that we need through his divine power that's in us, in Christ, in us, that pertains not only to this life and to our spiritual life, through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge of truth, the word of God that called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises that he is obligated to keep, to show himself mightily unto you. Oh God, I don't even know if you exist. That's sad to me. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, that seed of Christ in you. You were partakers of the divine nature of God in your spirit. You are now a child of God, a son of God. You have the divine nature of God in you. Whew. Greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. No longer do I live by my flesh, but I live by Christ that dwells in me. Come on, church, let's get it. We are the greatest people on earth. We are the most powerful when we think it through, when we promise it. I'm getting ahead of myself. And we think it through, and then we speak by the harema of Christ that dwells in us. You will not be disappointed. I'll show you that. If not today, next week. Having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. In closing, go with me to Romans chapter 12. If I don't do justice here, I'll pick it up next week. For I say through the grace given to me, that's a divine passive. It means only God can give us grace. I cannot give you grace. I cannot heal you. I cannot save you. I cannot deliver you. I cannot supply your needs. I'm not great enough. I'm not big enough. I'm just a vessel that proclaims the word of God. But God is big enough. God is great enough. God is God, and he gave us his promise, and he'll keep his promise, so that you know that he's a God-giving, faith-giving God. He wants to show himself to you. He wants you to know that you're his child and he's your dad, that he's your father, that he loves you and he gave his life for you and that he died for you and he was resurrected for you and he paid the price so that you can live in victory. Whew. That's some good preaching, brother. I always have to mess it up. To everyone that is among you, to every man among you, you receive the grace of God, for by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8. We're not to think of ourselves anymore. We're not to highly think in our reasoning anymore, to go by our senses or the circumstances or the situation, but we're to think soberly, as according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Each one of us, out of the respect of God, gave each of us the same measure of faith. When we were born again in the seed of Christ, we each started this walk in God with the same measure of faith. Whew, isn't that good? How do we increase that faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing. In the Bible, Jesus said to him, O ye of little faith, O ye of no faith. Here's a bad one. O you full of unbelief. O you doubters. O you reasoners. But he looked at the man in Rome, Matthew 8, and said, I have not seen such great faith. Speak thy word only, and my servant, Harema, and my servant will be healed. We'll pick this up. In 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's bow. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that you're showing us the purpose of faith. That you thought it was so important that we would believe you and come to you. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. So you gave us the ability to come to you to please you, because we must believe that you are, and that you're to diligently seek you, you will reward us. Let me say that again. You have given us the faith, the ability to come to you to please you and diligently seek you, and you promised us that you'll reward those that do come by faith and diligently seek you through the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I thank you, Father, that you called me out of the dreads of life, out of sin and sickness and death, and gave unto me your divine nature through the seed of Christ that's in me. No longer shall I live by my flesh, but my spirit.